Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey now, Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra. And of course, once a week, we are joined by the Hall of Famer, Coach Kevin McHale, and we're cutting him some slack because it's a, do I dare say it, boys' week? But when the wife is away, golf he will play. So we're trying to get out of his golf schedule and get him right in the crosshairs to talk some NBA basketball so that he can get out and hit the little white ball this week. Coach, welcome to the show. Always a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Lynn's out in Hawaii visiting our son. So a lot of golf on the menu for me.
There's nothing wrong with that. And based on pictures I saw, your New Year's was good. But I will at least throw it out there to say Happy New Year. And hopefully you celebrated with the Chuckster and everybody in a very, shall I say, under control way.
It was a lot of fun. And we had a good time and was able to see our good friend Chuck Barkley.
Yep,
and
yep.
Went to a party with Chuck and had a good time. Saw a lot of people and stayed out way too late and woke up the next morning feeling not very good.
Which is exactly what you're supposed to do during those kind of circumstances. So I think that's phenomenal. One thing people don't realize, Charles Barkley is a big New Year's Eve guy. He normally has a New Year's Eve party wherever he is every year. It's now kind of meditated back to Phoenix where he is based, and it is a phenomenal laid-back experience that if you ever have the pleasure of being able to be in one of those, it is a good time had by all.
Yes,
Coach,
sir.
Want to talk to you a little bit first and foremost about what everybody wants to talk about here. The Rockets are obviously playing at a level that no one really expected to this high degree or before the season started, but you know, I continue to say this. James Harden, and I predicted this before the season started simply because of the fact not only did D'Antoni's system fit in, but when James feels outside, what you call it, pressure, criticism, or motivation, he normally comes out swinging. He's been phenomenal. But before we get to James Harden, I just want to talk about the other pieces. I think that everybody kind of saw the signing of Eric Gordon as kind of an afterthought. They knew that they always wanted Ryan Anderson, but they got Ryan Anderson because they missed out on Horford and others. But I don't know that anybody could have seen the supporting cast coming up this big for this team this season to make it like the perfect storm.
Yeah, no, they played very, very well, and James is playing as well or better than he's ever played his entire career. And, you know, I just think they've got enough shooters out there with the style that Mike D'Antoni wants to play. And D'Antoni has done a great job of, I think, getting Montrezl Harrell in there. Decker's playing, you know, so he brought in some of the younger guys that you look at and you think, okay, they give a little energy, give some juice, and you know they play hard. And they're not, you know, they're not veteran guys, but they just bring energy that I like when I watch their team play. But they have enough shooters that some they're going to get hot. A couple of guys are going to get hot, and you know Trevor's always been a guy that can make the three, and when he gets hot, Trevor's capable of pulling a 6-for-8 from the 3-point line. Eric Gordon's played really well for them, but he's also another guy that can shoot at, you know, a really high percentage when he's hot. Anderson's the same thing. You know, James is got the ability to really knock down threes at a high rate. So they got a lot of guys. Patrick Beverly has historically been a nice corner shooter, a 3-point shooter in the corners. And so, you know, they got enough guys out there that they get it going, and they just put a lot of offensive pressure on you. They are not a team that is a great defensive team, but they're playing well enough defensively, but they just keep on scoring. They get in runs, and then they've caught a really nice rhythm. And, you know, you got to look at it right now, and two things as far as awards go. I mean, James has got to be right up there for the MVP award. And,
yep.
You know, Mike's got to be one of the top candidates for Coach of the Year.
Both just won their respective awards for their conference for the month. James, Player of the Month, D'Antoni just named coach of the month, so dead on with what you're saying there. The one thing, Coach, I think that goes kind of by the wayside because of how explosive this team is offensively, but for a team that was very much criticized because of their lack of defense in the past, what I noticed was, and looking at the numbers too, during the 10-game winning streak, they were at the top of the NBA in terms of their defense. But now, even though they're playing some tougher teams, but they're getting into a more of the meat of the season, defensively, their team defense has allowed them to do a lot more than people expected. I don't think they're getting enough credit for the fact that they're playing better defense than they have in the past, for sure.
Yeah, no, you're not going to win a ton of games and have a good record if you can't defend that time. There's just going to be nights you're just going to have to win a grinded out 95, 98 game. That's just the way the NBA is. They're not all going to be 125, 135 point nights where your offense is clicking. Offense comes and goes, but your defense usually can stand up, and defense travels a lot better on road games, so you've got to be able to defend when teams get on, their fans get excited, and the home team gets on a run. You still got to have good enough defense to shut that down and score enough points to keep pressure on them. But, you know, the really, when you look at the Rockets, to me, they just put a lot of offensive pressure on people. They come down, they take a lot of threes, they get hot from the three-point line, they go on these runs that are very impressive, where they're making shots. I think it makes the other team press a little bit. I think the other team gets down 6 to 8 points, and all of a sudden they start pressing a little bit because the Rockets keep scoring. And there's a lot of different, we've talked about this before, there's a lot of different ways that put pressure on teams, and the Rockets put a lot of offensive pressure where you've got to match them basket for basket, and they've got a lot of guys playing well. And at the end of the day, if you're going to put a good record up at the NBA, you have to have multiple guys playing well. You can't have one. It's not one guy is just going to carry you night in and night out. You need a team playing well, and they're finding a rhythm. I like their rotations. I just think that they're one of those teams that's just going to, I think, continue to get better and better, barring any kind of injury or any kind of unforeseen stuff.
You know, speaking of defense, Coach, taking it to the other end of the spectrum, Michael Malone just came out, told reporters how bad he thinks his defense is, called him a joke right now, worst in the NBA. As a coach, how do you get that message across, maybe without lighting your whole team up in the media like he did? And I remember a scenario, I think it was last year, when you benched all five starters at the same time because you weren't happy with their performance. Is that sending the message, or were you okay with saying something to the media as well?
No, I didn't like saying anything to the media. I mean, if I had something to say, I like to say it to the guys, you know, to their face and from the team. And, hey, this is just not good enough. And, you know, at the end of the day, your team's only going to be as good as your top players push it to be. And, you know, you can't play for them as a coach. And you can't go out there. You can't instill, you know, desire in them. They've got to want to do it. They've got to go out there. And, you know, and I know Mike's frustrated, and that frustration is coming out right now and ripping everybody in the media. But you know what? If you're going to rip them, it works a hell of a lot more effective to stand in front of them face to face, call them out. You got something to say, say it. You can't really respond unless you want to get into some kind of bizarre, you know, media war with your coach. Give them a chance to get it out their chest too. Maybe they got something to say. I don't know. You're all grown men. You can surely iron out your differences standing there in front of them and telling them what you want out of them. But I've never liked the media approach. I haven't been a guy that I didn't like it as a player, and I didn't like it when I was GMing, and so I never, you know, or when I was coaching, just never liked it. I don't think that's how you do things. I think you challenge them man to man, and at the end of the day, those guys in that locker room have got to be the guys that stand up and play. But I know Mike's frustrated, and they can be better. And I saw where Jeff Hornacek just said, you know, I'm not sure my team is good enough to play the defense we have. If you're a really crappy defensive team, you got to junk it up. You got to play defense. You got to play zone defense. You got to trap. You got to do a bunch of junk, but you got to junk it up. If your guys are just suck at individual defense, you've got to do some stuff to help them, and you got to junk the game up and see if you can find some gimmicks that can defend.
I like it. Kevin McHale joining us. Coach, how many times did you do that where you took out all five starters at the same time to send a message? Was that the only time in your coaching career?
No, I mean, I've done it before, I think. I don't really remember. You know, to me, I never thought that was that big of a deal. If they all stink, get them out of there. Like, I come from hockey where it's like you have a line change. Just get them out, you know. And, you know, hey, look, you got to go to the bench. Then all five guys walk off, and you know, I think they all feel, you know, bad or whatever. But who cares? You get, go to the bench, sit down, get something to drink, and think I got to play better. I've never had a coach yank all five guys out because they're playing too good. I've never seen a coach say, you know, my damn team is playing so good, I'm going to yank all five of them out and hope I can destroy the flow of this game. You're basically, that's your last resort. You probably made a couple substitutions, or they're so bad, you look at them and go, everybody go sit down. Just, you guys got nothing right now. Just go to regroup. But it's NBA games are long games. And you know, I think now with the everybody's so sensitive, and God, someone does something, or someone says something, and everybody gets their panties in a little wad. I mean, just relax, go out there and go play basketball. I've often said, they pay you to play a game that you played for free. You go down the park and look for a game. Now, if you get a good 3-on-3 game, you play it for 3 or 4 hours, you know, just for fun. And now they're paying you millions of dollars to do it. Man, you know, it drives me crazy when I hear all these players whining about everything.
Coach, we're going to take a quick break, come back with much more on the NBA and you, because believe me, I know that you are now a member of the media. So no matter how much you hated that media game and all those evil names I can't repeat on radio that you used to call the media, you are now a member. So it has its privileges. I'm just letting you know.
I'm looking for those privileges. Let me know when we get back.
Kevin McHale is going to be with us for another segment. Please feel free to join us. We'll be back. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 as we get our second segment in with the Hall of Famer, Coach Kevin McHale. And Coach, I think you probably have gotten some wind of this by now, but down on Kirby, home of the Texans, they have a coach general manager thing going on right now. People pointing fingers at each other, people not knowing who's to blame for what and who had their hand in what cookie jar to bring what players in. You've been on both sides of the equation. How delicate of a balance is that? And how tough is it when things go wrong as opposed to when you're cruising along doing things right?
Well, it's always much better when things are much easier when things are going right. But the reality is that you got to keep all that stuff. We just talked about keeping stuff in the locker room. You know, at that point, you got to keep all that stuff behind closed doors. I mean, you got to sit down there and talk. And if you can be honest with each other and say, look, I never liked that guy coming in here. We shouldn't have done this trade. I told you we shouldn't have done this trade if you're the coach. I mean, and it doesn't work. As a GM, you've got to sit there and say, yeah, you know, you're right. You do have a lot of interplay. What happens sometimes is that if the GM just does stuff on a whim and says, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, doesn't really consult the head coach, there you end up at times like just going like, man, you know, what's that all about? But if you communicate and talk it through, and are honest with each other, and honest, you know, you can get through most things together, because there's going to be a time, hey, when things don't go well, people want accountability. If the head coach stands up and says, I tell you what, I didn't want my offensive right guard, I didn't like the tight end that we got, and I thought we didn't need a blocking back, and we got another running back, and that's why we can't run the ball. And the GM says, yeah, that's true. What do you, I mean, there's not a lot of beef. The problem is there's always a lot of revisionist history in that whenever anybody makes it, everybody says, I knew the guy'd be great. And when the guy doesn't do well, that wasn't my choice. That was someone else's choice. And I think that's what destroys so much of that relationship between GM and coach.
Coach, let me ask you something on that point too, because, you know, it's one thing to say in the draft that the general manager drafted his guy didn't get your guy. Or it's one thing to say, hey, you like a player, but he's thinking about now in the future, for whatever his reasoning might be, he may trade that player. But I want to know about communication, because what they're talking about now is who was in the discussions when they signed Brock Osweiler. As head coach in any sport, in professional sports, it just seems to me that if the general manager is going to make a move, especially for a position that's going to be very, very key in your offensive schemes, that you're going to be involved in the decision as the head coach. At least you're going to be informed, and there's going to be an inquiry with you about what you feel about player A, simply because you're going to have to deal with them. Isn't that right?
Yeah, there better be. I mean, if they just go out and all of a sudden they get a guy who wants to do the West Coast offensive football, and they get a standard drop back, can't really throw the routes that you need in that offense, quick reads, all that stuff. You don't have that quarterback. How are you going to run it? I mean, you have to match up philosophy with the coach, with the personnel, and there are times that doesn't happen. I got to believe that they ask the coach, hey, you know, can you do these things that you need him to do? If the answer is no, then you got to move on to another guy, because usually on your list of potential replacements or whatever you're looking for, you have four or five guys, and you sit down with each other and you say, this guy works better, that guy doesn't work, and okay, it's our first choice. A lot of times you don't get your first choice. Sometimes you don't get your second choice, but I mean, hey, if he was a third choice for everybody, well, that's just kind of what you got. And again, you know, when you're able to discuss those things and talk it out and raise questions about guys that you don't like and tell them why you don't, as a coach, why you don't want that guy coming in. Or a lot of times what's happened is that, especially starting now in basketball, when you have a lot of different GMs coming in, a lot of the guys that are just numbers guys, you know, they come in with all the metrics and stuff, they might say, well, I want this guy, he fills these boxes. And then you say, that guy is the worst teammate in the history of basketball, we can't have that guy in our team. And how do you know that? Well, you know that because you talk around the league, and everybody, it's a very, very small league, and everybody knows what's going on in each other's teams. And so those are the things I think that you've got to work out and work together as a group.
Coach, there's some rumors going around about the Rockets targeting Kosta Koufos in a potential trade. Any thoughts on that? I mean, do you think they're set there, or do they need to make a move?
You know, I think Koufos is a good enough player. I don't know. I would say that if he came in, I would say Capella, probably a healthy Clint Capella, probably fits in better than Koufos. And you know, that they might want to get a little bit bigger, I think, because there's, you know, you start looking down the road and you say, okay, if we match up against the Memphis Grizzlies, we're going to have some size out there. You know, we're not going to be able to just play small ball all the time, because they're going to pound you with Randolph. You know, Gasol's playing at a really high level, and they'll play a little bit big once in a while. Or we're playing, the Clippers, and Blake gets back healthy, and they pound you a little bit. So you kind of got to look over the whole thing and say, we have to have enough big bodies that can play for these certain type teams. And you know, the reality is that, you know, some of those teams you don't need big guys in the Western Conference. But again, If San Antonio gets their, you know, Gasol and Aldridge playing really well together, you have to have enough size to combat that.
Yeah, Coach, one more question for you. The Odell Beckham Jr. thing, I don't know if you saw this, but he was down in Miami partying, on an off day a week before playoffs. As a coach or a GM, how would you feel about that, seeing your players out partying? It's their day off, I get it, but a week before a big game like that.
Well, hey, look, he comes back and he says, I hope you had fun. You better produce. And, put it on them. I mean, hell, I went out and had a few beers, too many beers maybe before games, but I went like the next day. I believe I better go bring it. You're an adult. I mean, you know, you're responsible. And sometimes, you say, hey, man, hope you had fun, because we're going to practice. That's what we're doing. We're all attentive. And then you can say, hey, man, some of you walk in front of everybody and say, well, some of you cats seem to want to party more than play. Let's go find out. And you practice, and you put them on, as the fellas say, you put them on Front Street and say how you like it. And that's not a bad thing. I have no problem saying, hey, I hope you guys had fun last night, but we got practice today, we got a game tomorrow. And in the famous words of Dave Collins, are you going to be able to hoot with the owls and soar with the eagles, baby, if you can't go to bed? If you can, come out with me. That's what Dave told me one night.
Coach, Demo, finally the saga ends. He signs with New Orleans. Mm-hmm. $1.1 million veterans minimum. At this point, is it just about having to prove to the league that he's healthy and try and put the Rockets in his rearview mirror? Because it has been, by any account, a disaster.
Yeah, for everybody. I mean, really, Demo took just a massive hit on financially, and then I, you know, honestly, I don't think the Rockets look bad in this whole thing too. You know, the matching and the cutting them, and it was just bad all the way around. Demo needs to go to New Orleans, get healthy, help those guys who are playing better now. They've been playing about 500 ball after that horrendous start, and just get them playing at a higher level. Get you know, everybody see him healthy. Let him do his thing. So hopefully next summer he can sign one of those bigger deals and go to a team that he wants to. And you know, there's so much when you're injured in this league, and you know, you flunk two physicals. There's just so many teams that won't touch a guy. They're just like, I'm not going to. You can't get insurance for him. There's so many things. You know, like when you're a GM, you get a player at $36 million. Demo probably is not insurable right now with his back. There's not insurance company that wants to take that risk. So that all just lays on your books. You know, if you have insurance on guys, at least an insurance company's paying what they're hurt if they get injured. But Demo doesn't have that, I'm sure. And so there's a lot of other things that go into it. Because Demo's a great guy. I really like him. I just hope he's healthy. He gets out there and plays, does his thing, ends up with a team that he wants to play on, and gets paid a ton of money and just can continue his career. And hey, his stay here in Houston was over, and it was time for him to move on.
Coach, football this weekend, Houston, who you picking? Raiders, Texans?
Ooh, well, I would have said Raiders, definitely. But, you know, with the injury to their quarterback and stuff, man, hey, let's go Texans.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, they had a good record. But you take off a major piece like that, man. It throws your team into a little bit of a funk. And this is a great weekend. These next two weekends for me are really the best weekends of pro football. Game Saturday, game Sunday. I'm going to play golf in the morning, Joel, and watch golf all day.
How great is that? Wife's out of town.
Yep.
And you get Saturday and Sunday football and golf, yep, in Arizona. Doesn't get much better than that. And I'm sure the beer's still cold there. So
I just went out and I bought a couple cases of Coors Light that should get me through the weekend, I hope. And
then you're drinking carbonated urine as opposed to a Milwaukee beer. That's when you hurt me.
I know. But hey, I'm a Coors Light guy. That I left old Milwaukee and Schlitz a long time ago, brother.
Hey, don't forget about Miller, please, and Pabst before you go too far. Hey, have a great weekend. Hit them straight. Enjoy some football. But thanks for joining us as always.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Kevin McHale's been our guest, as he is weekly, right here on your home for everything sports and more, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4. Always great to have Coach Kevin McHale join us. The Hall of Famer always brings it and is never shy about telling you exactly how he feels as much as he can, because I can tell you from experience, Coach has dealt with his share of minutiae from above in dealing with things in his career in the NBA.
Lauren Pope chimed in and says she doesn't like basketball, yeah, but always loves listening to Coach. Great segment.
Love
appreciate
that.
The feedback, Lauren.
Coach going to do that all season and then some, so yeah, it's always great to have him around. Maybe we'll even have him in studio when the week of the Super Bowl. He's coming in for Super Bowl. He's,
yeah, that would be awesome.
So we'll try and get him in here.
What I love about him is that he's honest. Like, you can ask him pretty much any question. It's kind of like that when we did the couple of weeks ago, we filled in, I guess. With Quentin Demps.
Oh, yeah.
And off air, I was like, hey, there's some things I'm going to ask you that might be kind of difficult to answer. He goes, I don't care. You can ask me anything.
Yep, he said
like,
that
I'm an open book. And that's so cool to meet people like that, especially in this day and age where a lot of people are like, no, don't ask me this, don't ask me that. There's nothing I don't feel like that's off limits with Kevin McHale. Like, you can pretty much ask him anything. And he'll give you an honest answer. Yeah. You're not just going to get media speak. Like, he tells you what he thinks.
Well, think about the whole Rambis thing and those things where you would expect the politically correct thing to say, nah, we're fine. I mean, we're not close like best friends, but we're fine. And no, we don't like each other. We don't talk. And if we saw each other in the hallway, we probably wouldn't speak at all. Those kind of things. I mean, the things that he says, you don't have to question it. And on that note, Demo signs with the Pelicans yesterday. I texted him and he just responded today that within the next 7 days, he wants to join us. So hopefully, because Demo's another one of those guys, and as Coach Mack said, he's a great dude, but he definitely doesn't hold back. Unless there's pending litigation to something that we don't know about, I'm pretty sure Demo's going to be honest too. So we'll also bring that to you in the next 7 days, because a lot of you have been clamoring for that. I promised, he promised, and he's going to live up to that. So we'll have Demo on as well. During the break, Nick, Barry and I were talking. You know, your boy Brian was doing the sports update.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that U of H is playing the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. I wasn't really paying attention, and then I heard that, and I thought, good God, that sounds like an illegal sex act performed at the Bunny Ranch.
It does sound like a move,
yeah,
right? Like the and then wouldn't it be cool if that was all the names of schools? Like, hey, it's the Alabama Hot Pockets versus the Cleveland Steamers.
Or the New Orleans Rubbin' Tugs.
Yeah, the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes.
I mean, and then after what we were talking about yesterday, and we can get to more of that in a little bit, but the Clemson linemen. So you walk in a la carte at the Bunny Ranch, and you say, how much for the Golden Hurricane? And I'd also like a Clemson Tiger if you get a chance.
like the Clemson Down South reach around, please. Yeah.
Can I get a Clemson Tiger, a Golden Hurricane, and finish me off with a Purple Ace?
See, that made me want to look up like all the mascots that exist.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to go through these, and so far the weirdest one I've found.
Evansville is the Purple Aces.
Yeah, the Purple Aces does sound like another move, right? Like it's very similar to like the should I even say these on air to make people Google them? Because it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or text 713-780-ESPN.
Yeah, Purple Aces, it's the Pink Sox and the Blue Waffles.
Don't I knew Google you guys those, were going to say those.
Yeah. Don't Google any of that. But that's what it reminded me of. But the absolute worst one that I found, it's not even like a, it doesn't even sound like a sex move, but the Scottsdale Community College Artichokes. Not just the artichokes, the fighting artichokes. That is their God's honest nickname. Scottsdale Community College fighting artichokes. Could you imagine you just have a hat with an artichoke on it?
Well, you know,
like, that's your thing. What is like, I wonder if their jerseys are like, they just look like a pizza.
And but then that's like the calling card of minor league baseball now.
It's so funny.
Because, you know, people collect hats.
Yeah.
And it got to be such a big thing that minor league baseball in the last 10 years, it doesn't matter, like, about how many the talent you have on the team. It's about how creative your nickname is and how the uniforms look in the hats.
True.
Because, I mean, if you go and look now on New Era and all these different sites, Lids has a site and everything like that, you look at, like, it used to be like the Toledo Mud Hens, and that was a cool name.
Yeah.
But now they got the Lug Nuts, and they've got, I mean, there's all kinds
the fighting
of
artichokes.
Phenomenal names for minor league baseball teams that are really cool.
Campbell University is the Camels, and his name is Gaylord. That's he's special. Oh, I like boy. That. I dig this. This is. I think I've found something to do for the next 5 hours now after the show's over. And of course, you
if
can't
they
forget
win
the
by
Gamecocks.
A field goal. Did you get beat by the camel toe?
Yeah. You
I'm just asking. It's just a question.
And you can't forget about the Gamecocks, of course. So
of
you
course,
get the Golden
South Carolina.
Hurricanes
you can
and the
never
Gamecocks.
Leave that out. Yeah.
No. All right. No. That's good stuff.
That's the a la carte menu at the Bunny Ranch and the matchups for this weekend's college football preview.
I like it. Go fight
the Gamecocks, Golden Hurricanes, the Purple Aces.
I want to. You know what? I'm going to try to reach out to Scottsdale Community College and see if I can order like a shirt or a hat with the fighting with Artie the Artichoke on it, which is their mascot.
Yeah.
I really want to. Oh, yeah. I need a fighting artichokes shirt or hat. I really need to make this happen now.
I'm sure that they have them too.
Are more than
you should
five
go online and find it yourself.
That's what I'm looking for. No, I want them to send it. I'm not paying for an artichoke shirt.
Well, that's true. Well, just use my methodology that's worked for you in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll see if they have a Twitter address and hit them up on the handle, and there you go.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that at the break.
And here's another thing, by the way. We're at Petco this weekend for that puppy that could be a member of our family and making us way too overpopulated with dogs.
It is going to be. You know, not
Lisa
could.
Picked out after last night.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Oh, yeah. Lisa only slept like 2 hours, and the dog was up all night. That's
diarrhea everywhere.
Strike one was a big strike.
Oh.
But at the same time, we're at Petco this weekend trying to pick up a few things for the puppy, and she goes, who would buy this? The emoji for crap.
Yeah, the poop emoji.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
it's
yeah. I would totally buy
footer.
That.
Of just a big pile of crap with the eyes and the mouth.
Yeah.
They're selling that as a dog pillow.
I like it. You didn't get it?
No.
Come on,
I did not
man.
Get it. Believe me, with what we spent at Petco, we don't need to get the crap pillow.
Oh, I totally. I wish I would have known that those existed. I would have gotten my wife one. I would have
Guess
out
what?
Got her.
It's still
for
there,
Christmas.
And I'm pretty sure no one snapped it up yet. You no? can still get it.
I think I might do that.
There you have it.
An anniversary gift. Here's a symbol of our love, babe. A 4-foot pile of dung.
Nothing says sensitivity more.
Nothing says love.
Than the crap pillow.
Nothing says love.
Jeez.
I like it. We got to finish our awards, don't we?
We got to finish our awards, and then Roberto wants to get to our conversation about...
Oh, yeah. We got to do that first.
Yeah,
you get but we only got 1 minute left. I don't want to ruin him because he's been waiting for a while.
We got time, don't we, Nick?
Nah.
No, but which one do you want to go? You want to go call? You want to
let's
finish
do
our awards?
Let's do our awards, and then because I want Roberto to have time to say what he wants. Don't you think so?
Sure.
Because I don't want to have to cut him short.
That's fine.
I would feel bad.
All right, so where do we leave off on the awards?
We got three left.
Okay.
We got three left. Rookie of the year on defense, rookie of the year on offense, and comeback player of the year. So who's your rookie of the year on defense? I think we should all agree on this. If not, then
I'm going to say Joey Bosa.
Okay, and I agree with you, Nick.
Yeah, Joey Bosa.
Okay, good. At least we agreed on one.
And there's
the
guy that missed time.
Yeah.
And missed all of training camp and just came in like a golden hurricane.
I like the callback. Is it fair to not punish him though, and we're all pretty much punishing Tom Brady for missing the first four games?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, but I think it is fair from the standpoint that he actually was physically he was able to play and they didn't play him right away, whereas opposed to Brady was suspended.
True,
but yeah, it's right. That's a fine line.
Rookie of the year on offense.
I'm gonna say Zeke.
You're going Zeke, so you're giving him your offensive player of the year and rookie of the year.
Offensive rookie of the year.
But you said offensive player of the year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm gonna give him offensive player of the year and I'm gonna give him offensive rookie of the year.
Nick, yes, what you got?
I'll go with Dak Prescott.
All right. Yeah. I'm going Zeke as well,
just because he's a young quarterback and putting such a big
don't call me out questioning if that was the I did that. Yes, I did.
What?
I gave him both offensive player of the year and like, rookie of the year.
Really though? Yeah. Why would you do that?
Why not?
Were so many other choices for offensive player of the year.
But are they better choices?
At least he
in
got an award.
Mind.
At least he got the award,
look,
right?
I'm not giving you a trophy for competing. Okay.
No. But I'm saying he would have still gotten an award. I mean, you could have picked like
mind it was between Dak and
for
Zeke
rookie,
anyway,
but I could have
rookie.
Seen you going Matt Ryan for MVP and offensive player of the year. Cam, that happened with Cam.
I've
he
actually
won both.
Tried to be more middle of the road because believe me, number 12 in green and gold was up for all of it for me, and I didn't say it.
I figured you would have like Aaron Rodgers for defensive rookie of the year.
It's
as well.
Possible. Like not rookie, but just defensive player of the year. Early in the season, I could have because he's playing like crap. Give it to the defense. But
I'm with you. I'm with you on Zeke. I mean, he led the league in rushing, and I think he deserves something for that. So rookie of the year. All right, comeback player of the year. Who you got? Let me guess.
This one I am Let going green guess. And gold.
Jordan
and
Nelson.
That's correct.
I guess
I ain't
right.
changing that one.
Nailed it. Who you got, Nick?
I was going to do Peterson, even though he got injured.
He didn't come back.
No, you can't. Yeah.
Can't?
No.
I mean, you can, but it's going to look ridiculous because he missed last year because
play.
Suspension.
You got to pick someone that had a
played.
Good year. Jordy Nelson's a pretty safe pick. That was my runner-up.
It's a safe pick, but I really don't have another one outside of
I'm going Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, see, that's a good one.
I'm going Melvin Gordon.
That's a great comeback. And he's a Badger. Well done.
Oh, see, there you go. Melvin Gordon, my comeback player.
Where's Richard?
So there you go.
I went one day without any of it, and I got both of them in one segment. Take that, Richard.
You were able to drop Nelson and Melvin Gordon.
That's right. Badgers and Packers in one segment. Look out! That's what we do. So we're done?
We're done. That's our NFL awards. Go back and listen to the other hour one for the first half of those.
Correct.
Yeah, if you missed any of that, coming up, we're going to have Roberto, who wants to talk about Tillman Fertitta.
Can you see the screen? All it says is
all I see
Roberto.
Is Tillman Fertitta is a piece of.
Yeah, unknown.
This should be interesting. Stay tuned for that, if nothing else. This is ESPN 97.5.
Crank that song. Now I mean you. Crank that song. Now I mean you. Crank that song. Now what?
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Barry, Joel, and Nick till 4. God, if you guys could be a part of what's not on the air during breaks.
Real quick, let me just do this quick, and then I'll let you continue.
Yep.
But we were talking about sex moves with the Golden Hurricanes and the Purple Aces and the Fighting Artichokes. But Eric Morton tweeted me, I guess this is a new one because I've never heard this before, but there's a new move called the minivan where it's 2 in the front and 5 in the back. That is the most hilarious thing I've ever heard. And it's got a visual, and it's just, it's some dude with holding up.
It's got a visual.
It's holding up. Yeah, it's a guy with one hand, he's holding up two fingers, and the other hand, he's making a fist. Two in the front, five in the back is the minivan. That is amazing.
Ooh, Eric, and you know what?
Eric, thank you for making my day.
By the way, and then getting back to your mascot thing, Wichita State.
What are they?
The Shockers.
Oh, look at that.
I totally forgot about that, too. Holy hell, and then he brought that up.
Oh, and three more that we got. We've got a few texts that said there's a minor league baseball team called the Montgomery Biscuits.
Yep. Facts.
That's pretty great. Yep. A high school in Freeburg. They are the Mighty Midgets.
I'm telling you, the hats on some of these teams are phenomenal.
And then there's the Pikes Peak Community College Aardvarks. Jed sent that one in. That's awesome. I like those.
There you go.
I'm still getting a Fighting Artichokes hat.
Well, I asked Roberto to call back, and he did that. He's a good man. He must be have a job where it keeps him on the road, busy, where he can get back to us. But he has been patiently waiting. Roberto, welcome to the show, man. Hopefully you got a job where you can make time for us, but we appreciate you.
Yep, I drive a minivan, a Fit 7 in it for Yellow Cab.
For Yellow Cab?
Yep, Galveston Yellow Cab.
All right, Galveston Red Yellow Cab. We got you. All right, man, what's on your mind? You want to talk about Tillman Fertitta?
And Herman Monster, too.
Oh, what?
That's how Kevin McHale, that's who he looks like, wouldn't y'all say?
No, I would not say that.
Come on.
No, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't say that to his face, and if you would, you have to understand there's ramifications.
Yes, I would. All he needed is two screws coming out of his neck. He looked just like Herman Monster.
That's all right. Well, what was your thing on Fertitta, Roberto?
He ruined Galveston. He don't care nothing about his employees or Galveston. He just wants money in his pocket, and he can't own the Texans because he's connected to the mob. He always has an entourage of 10 or 15 people like he thinks he's somebody. He won't shake nobody's hand. And then he cried about, oh, nobody's going to outbid me for Tom Herman. Yeah, but he didn't open a checkbook and give him $10 million, Tom Herman, to still be in Houston if he did.
Do you really believe that money alone would have kept Tom Herman in Houston?
Absolutely. Money talks and the bull crap walks. He only got $5 million in Texas. You don't think he would have stayed for $10
million? He basically said the UT job was his dream job. I mean, everybody's got their price, but everybody's also got their dream scenario. And if he could go to get pretty damn good money to go to his dream job, you can't fault him for that.
Now, Roberto, I detect something here because you're saying he ruined Galveston.
Yeah.
And you mix that in with he ruined Galveston and U of H and all that. But then somewhere in there, you dropped a he won't shake nobody's hand. Now, let me ask you, have you ever been in the position where you tried to shake his hand and he didn't?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen him get put in a police car on New Year's Eve in front of his club 21.
But is all this because he wouldn't shake your hand? Is that why you're angry? Because that's what I'm curious.
No, not because of that. He's just a piece of garbage.
Did you used to work for him?
No, never worked for him. Wouldn't work for him.
Wow. But you have friends or family that did?
No.
So I want to know why he ruined Galveston. Roberto, in one sentence, tell me one sentence why he ruined Galveston. This is fascinating to me. Why did he ruin Galveston?
Gambling so bad, but all the church people get together and turn him down. And he's ruined Galveston because he just has. He owns
half of Galveston. You have nothing to back that up. You can't say he just has.
It's garbage. He doesn't do nothing for his employees.
He pays them every two weeks.
Which is a foundation. And he tries to ruin them.
Roberto, you can't say that man has ruined Galveston, and then when I ask you for a specific reason, you say because. Like, that's irresponsible. You can't just go around spreading rumors like that. If you don't like the way he handled U of H or whatever, that's fine.
You don't think he's connected to the mob, right?
I don't care. Either way, I don't care. If he is, I'm not going to talk trash about him and get snuffed out one day. I'm not that
dumb. Bottom line is, Roberto, you go all the way from the Hotel Galvez, all the way down the Strand and the Strip, and you realize how many jobs he's provided for people because of all the things that he's done by putting up restaurants, hotels, and other things, and then go down to the Kima Boardwalk and realize that basically Tillman Fertitta is the Kima Boardwalk. So from entertainment to restaurants to everything, Tillman Fertitta has provided more than a lot of jobs to a community that needs them. You know, I appreciate you calling in and listening to the show, but come on, man. I mean, you got to see it both ways.
Thanks for the call, Roberto. Appreciate it.
I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but again, he did not leave because Fertitta didn't, I mean, because Tillman didn't spit out the money.
Nope.
He just did it. He just did it.
Herman was a grad assistant at UT. You knew it was one of his dream jobs. Look, if any one of us had the opportunity to do the same thing, to say whatever our dream job was, and suddenly it was presented on a platter with the money to back it up, we're not going to stay put and say, no, I'm loyal to ESPN 97.5. Yeah. This is where I want to do
it. And it's just irresponsible to say that this dude ruined Galveston and not really have a reason to support it. That's just, it's kind of what I figured.
Well, I thought it was a bitter former employee, but he said he wasn't.
But when he dropped the, he doesn't shake anybody's hand. That lets me know that he either tried to take a picture with this guy or shake his hand or whatever.
Right.
And Tillman said, no, I don't have time because people are busy. And
just like if he says that Tillman doesn't take care of his employees, don't give me that crap. Either him personally, a relative, a friend, someone had a very unhappy ending with a company owned by Tillman.
Simple. So I hate to interrupt, but I'm getting like texts and tweets from a ton of people where I was going to give that minor league baseball team mascots and stuff. And all of a sudden they cut to Family Matters music on the stream. Do we know what's going on with that?
I have no idea.
We need to look into that.
There's a lot of TV theme music being played.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah, a lot of people are bitching at me because it's cutting off in the middle of a segment.
Look, we'll look into
on
it.
The stream.
Nick,
I have no idea.
We can always check with Brandon and other people.
Yeah.
Going on. I think we got a caller.
Tony wants to respond to Roberto, and I want to give him a chance to do that. So, Tony, welcome to the show, man.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, man.
Tony, how's it going?
Good. Pretty good. I want to respond to Mr. Roberto. First of all, if you're mad about somebody not wanting to shake your hand, a complete stranger, I don't know who would want to shake Roberto's crusty sounding ass hand anyways, but beyond that, Tillman Fertitta gives all of his wait staff and restaurant workers a 50% discount to whenever they go to his restaurant or any of the other restaurants that this guy owns. So how in the world does this guy not do anything for his employees?
Yeah, that's
I said it. Look at how many jobs he's provided between Kima and Galveston alone.
Yep.
So it's hard to be critical of him, but Tony, we appreciate the call. And look, I mean, you could throw stones wherever you want, but you don't live in a glass house. So, you know, he was critical of Kevin McHale, too. You can call him Herman Munster if you want, but Herman Munster's got a better jewelry collection, and he's a member of a Hall of Fame. And I'm pretty sure that even if Danny DeVito anointed him and nominated him, he's not going to make the Taxi Hall of Fame. So there you have it. I mean, be careful before you throw stones that people can throw them back, and sometimes their boulders are bigger. Because sometimes guys with bigger boulders can do more damage. Just remember that when you're looking in the Golden Hurricane. Keenan McCardell is standing by. He is making up for...
We get him early?
We get him early because you know why? We didn't get him last week because he decided to skip town. So he's giving us a bonus half hour.
And he's going to be uncomfortable because I still have things to say.
Uh-oh.
We're still getting mascots and sex moves in. I don't know how it evolved to that, but that's what we're getting.
And KJ and Aaron are still fired up.
And by the
either way about Tillman.
Was it me or did Roberto sound a lot like
Gilbert?
Yeah, he had Gilbert's
the
dad,
end of
maybe?
The end of his pronunciations.
I was waiting for him to drop an anyway.
Or a little sneaky.
I really was.
Little
Tillman Fertitta is a bad person anyway. I was really waiting on that.
And why aren't you not picking it, like Keenan and Trapp? Why are you not picking the Chargers to be in the Super Bowl?
He doesn't shake hands anyway. What?
Keenan McCardell jumps into the middle of the crosshairs with us so he can talk about sexual mascots, Tillman Fertitta, maybe some football. We'll figure it all out. Hey, two in the books, one to go. We're loving it. Hope you love the show. ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.